Erev Shabbos, Parshas Shoftim, Tovshin Samach Zayin. Today's shiur will be Le'ilui Nishmas Fruma Bas Ephraim, a woman who was content with her lot in life, therefore a rich woman, whose yard site is today, first yard site is today. In Perichof of Parsha Shoftim, Torah speaks about when Klal Yisrael have to go to war. He says, when you go to war against your enemy, first the Kohen gets up to speak, to be mechazik, to encourage all of the soldiers going to war, and then in Pasuk Hey, the officers, those who are in charge of sending out the soldiers to war, to the battle, the Shadrim get up and they say, well, certain people are exempt from going out to war. They're not exempt entirely, but they don't have to go to the front lines. They don't have to put their lives in jeopardy as the other soldiers that are going out. And they'll assist in the behind the scenes. They'll assist in other ranks. And the Torah points out three people in particular: someone who has built a new house but yet has not lived in it. So Yelech v'yashu lebeisa, he should return back to his house. Pen yomz b'malchama, lest he die. V'ish achiyach nechenu. And he will not live there, someone else will live there. Or someone who planted a vineyard. As the Gemara explains, it could be five trees. That's a vineyard already. And you can't redeem those trees, because you have the din of Arla for at least 3 years. And Valechilla yet did not have a chance to redeem these trees. Yelech v'yashu lebeis, he too should go back home. Pen yomz b'malchama v'yishachiyach alenu. And the third one, umiyish asher iras isha v'lelekocha. The third one who's exempt from going out to war, to the front lines, is someone who's engaged to be married. Lest he die, pen yomz b'malchama v'yishachiyachena, lest he die, and someone else will marry this woman. So the Ramban, in a few short words, trying to explain to us why these three people, why are these are the only cases where we say that you don't have to go out to the front lines, you have to still participate in the war, in providing food for the soldiers, but you don't have to put yourself in danger, which the Ramban says there are casualties by war, even we believe that, even the Kayan who says that you're going to go out and we'll be successful means we'll win the war, but not that there won't be any fatalities. And why these three people are exempt from that? It says the Ramban, V'tziva al ashleisha eila loshuv, these three can go return back to their homes. Ki libay al beisay v'karmay v'al ishtay v'yonus. Because his mind is not on the war, his mind is not on killing the enemy, or even saving his own life. He can't be fully focused because his mind is on his new house, his new vineyard, or his new wife-to-be. The Yonus, the Ramban says, he'll run away, and as he will not fight properly. So if understand what the Ramban is saying, that these three people have a lot in their mind. A lot of he just planted, could be this will be his parnasa, this will be his income. He planted a vineyard and hasn't yet been able to reap the profits from it, so his mind is on that. Or someone built a new house, his mind is on that. So we understand just the Ramban, just like that, that a person has things on his mind, then we can think of a lot of other cases where people are in a situation where they have a lot on their mind. Person who's engaged to be married, so he has a lot on his mind. And what if a person is already married and he has children and grandchildren? Well, he doesn't have a lot on his mind. So he, because pen yomis b'malchama, maybe he'll die at war. So he doesn't have a responsibility of families. And if someone has already a very successful business, so he's worried about it all the time. So certainly if he goes out to war, he's going to die. Who's going to take over the business? So what it was, it's hard to understand the Ramban's underlying message over here of why these three people are exempt from war. But Reb Zalman Sirotzkin points out in his sefer that he says if you look at the psukim, they give us the answer very clearly. Perhaps this is included in what the Ramban is saying, but if you look at the psukim, it says very clearly what the underlying reason here is why these three people will be exempt from the war. And what is that? Stan, what is it?
Someone will replace him.
He says three times the Torah repeats itself. Ish acha yachnechenu. The ish acha yichalalenu. And the ish acha yikachenu. And as if it would be just that the person is worried, you know what, he may die at war and he'll never have the benefits of his new house that he built. He invested time, energy, money into building this new house. He won't be able to. He may die at war and won't have it. And the Torah says, no, that's not what it is. What it is that the house that he just built and was hoping to live in, ish acha yachnechenu, his friend, or worse, his enemy, will end up living in that house. And he says, you see, the Torah is pointing out, this is what's going through the person's mind and why he won't be able to focus on the war. Dying, he says, is one thing. He says, but what's worse than dying is having the tsar, the pain of obviously dying and not being able to live in his house or marry this woman that he's engaged to or reap the benefits of his parnasa which he invested in. The worst thing is for him, the tsar will be that someone else will take it over. That's what he explains from these psukim. As the pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Koshe kisha'ol kina. That kina, someone who is envious of somebody else, is like the sha'ol, it's like Gehenim. So the Torah is saying that we know this is how this is the makeup of a person. The makeup of a person is that he will be jealous of somebody else. And because of that jealousy, for him, it will be a double pain if he will die. Because not only will he have the pain of death and not being able to continue living and enjoying those things that he has set up, but it will be, for him, it will be as well, not only the death itself, but it will be the Gehenim that he will know in his mind that he'll be going through at that time when he goes out to war, because somebody else will take over. Someone else will marry this woman. Someone else will take over this house, and that he won't be able to stand. So he points out the Aznayim L'Torah that it's a strange midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled in a person, that innate in every person is that we are jealous of somebody else, what someone else has. And that is sort of the bottom line for a person. That will get a person to either do or not do something. And as many Chazal, and even Psukim in Tanakh, the whole story with Shaul being jealous of David HaMelech, even as a pasuk, Vatakanei Rachel Ba'achoisa, Rachel Imenu was jealous of her sister Leah. And he says, if you go back even further, it's an unbelievable Yalkut Shemaini, where you see nobody is saved from this midah of kinah. And certainly we understand that it's on a very small level, and in a very scrutinizing way that Chazal look at these people, but Chazal describe it for us to learn from them. There's a Yalkut Shemaini in Parshas Vayera by the Akedas Yitzchak. The pasuk says, "Vayelchu shneim yachtov." Both Avram and Yitzchak went together. Yachtov. What's yachtov? Together. Zela akoid vezeli okay. Avram went with a mind is going to bind his son, his only son, to the Akedah. And vezeli akan Yitzchak is ready as a grown man. He's ready to give up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zel Ishchait, Avram was going with the mind, he's going to slaughter his son, Vizeli Shochait, and Yitzchak was going, he's ready to give up his life for Hashem. Then the pasuk says, "Vayemi Yitzchak al Avram Aviv, Vayemer Avi." All of a sudden, their miller going, and Yitzchak says, "Avi, my father, where are we going? Where's the Selaila? What happened? What changed midstream? He's ready to go. Vayel Chushdein Yachtav." The Torah says, "We know what's going through their mind. Yitzchak is ready to go." All of a sudden, "Vayem Avi." Why is he saying? What's he stopping for? What's he saying? Avi. Why does he use that expression? So the Medrash here tells us that Samael, the Satan, came over to Avram Avinu and says, "Are you crazy? Have you gone out of your mind? Ben Shanasan Lacholame Ashana, Atelech Lashafte, you're going to Shech, your one son, you're giving you after 100 years. Amanas Cain, Avram said, I'm not listening to you. Amanas Cain, I'm doing it." He tries it. "Tomorrow they're going to tell you, or the papers are going to read, you're a murderer. Amanas Cain." He saw he wasn't having any success with Avram. So he came to Yitzchak. He said, "Yitzchak, you're letting your father do this? I'm going to ask Cain. Nothing's going to stop them." Omar Lay, then the Satan told Yitzchak, "In Cain, kol prugiyos she'asas imcha, all of the things that your mother has made for you." And it sounds like it's immaterial things that his mother has made for him and has planned on giving him. He says, "Liyishmael sonei debesa Yerusa." He knows he's going to get all that. Yishmael, your enemy, he's going to inherit all that. He says, "If you get geshachten over here, if you get killed al kiddush Hashem here, you're going to lose all that." At this point, when the Satan told him that, whether it means the Satan directly told him or this was going through his mind, he says, "Yeah, I'm ready to go get geshachted. All of a sudden, you know, if I die, all of those things that I have, my whole room that I have at home, you know who's going to get it? Yishmael." That brought him to say, "Avi, maybe have rachmanis on me." So again, the level of Yitzchak Avinu, whether it's a small mashahu of this is part of his thought when he said the word Avi, and Chazal, looking into his mind, understood that Baruch Kachem, they understood this was also part of going through his mind. But for us, as we have to learn Chumash, for us we're supposed to understand that even Yitzchak Avinu can have this Midah of Kina in a very, very small way. But for us, it is a much broader way, this Midah of Kina. And that's what led him to say, "Avi, maybe have Rachmanis on me." But for us, it's to understand, like the Rosh writes in his Archas Chaim, where he says that Kina is a chayla rosh ein le'rufua. It's a terrible sickness, he says, which doesn't have a cure to it. Doesn't have a cure, Reb Chaska Levinstein points out, because a person a lot of times doesn't realize that that's what's driving him. And that's what's motivating him to do or not to do something. It's the underlying kina within him. That's what is really pushing his buttons. And if he doesn't realize that, ein le'rufua will have there's no cure to such a thing. And interesting what the Rosh says. The Rosh says that kina is a chayla ra, or ra chayla. It's a terrible sickness, shein l'rafua. And really, that's all it is. If you look through svarim, rishainim, achrainim, halacha, kina is not usr. To be jealous of somebody is not usr. In of itself is not usr. But what it is it's a terrible sickness. Who's it a sickness for? It's only a sickness for the person. We'll see what the Mesil Shisharim says. But it's not usher. We know the Mishnah Ava says, Hakina Vataiva Vakovai Maitsina Sa'adam and Ailam. These things drive a person from the world. Which world? It drives a person from his own world. It drives a person batty himself. It's a sickness for himself. It doesn't make anyone else sick. Except the people that it affects because of his own mood. But what it is the Chazal is saying, it drives a person from his own world. It drives a person from enjoying his own world. It drives a person from enjoying his own lot in life. That's loy sachmoid. That's very specific. Loy sa'ave. And that's very specific in terms of when a person is over on that, and as the isser of it is when he will actually do something, he'll act actively do something to try to get the person to sell it, or try to find a way to get it out of the person's possession. That's leisachme, that's leisasave. But just the feeling of envy, the feeling of kinah to another person, there's no actual isser in that. But what it is a person is, as I saw pointed out from in a place from Avigdor Nebenzahl Shlita. He says, can you imagine a person has a tremendous amount of wealth, and he takes his wealth and just throws it away. He takes his money and just tears it up. You think the person's a mashugna. Nebuch, look at this person. He has so much and he just destroys it with his own hands. So he says, we're all like that. Why? The Mishnah says, Ezeu Oshir Asamech Bechelkai. So it's within a person's hand, he says, to be happy with his lot, to be a rich person. And he takes it and he destroys it. Because if he's jealous of somebody else, then he means he's not happy with his own lot. He's jealous of somebody else's house. He's jealous of somebody else's wealth. He's jealous of someone else's wife. He's jealous of someone else's kids. They have a lot of kids. They don't have so many kids. The family makeup. You have more boys. They have more girls. A person is jealous. He's taking his own wealth that he could be happy with, and he's destroying it. He's throwing it away. There's a very interesting medrash which Reb Chaim Knievsky brings. It's actually a Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Beis Amid Beis, but the Gemara has it very bekitzer and a little bit differently. He quotes a medrash which describes the story a little bit more at length. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, "Rekav atzamais kina," that the decay of someone's bones comes from being jealous. So the Medrash there brings a Meiser, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Hoyalei Tel Ofer B'teich Karmai. Rav Nachman had this mound of dirt in his field. So he wanted to get rid of it. He wanted to plow it over. Or plant things over there. So he hired workers that they should dig. And they dug the whole day, and come back the next day, they dug some more. And the second day, they're digging deeper. All of a sudden, somebody jumps out of the pit. Somebody gets up and he sits on the mound of dirt and he starts looking around and he says, Shema higiyah tchias ameisim? Shema higiyah tchias ameisim? Is it time to get up? There's a person who was buried here. The Gemara says it was an amayra of Achoy bar Yeshia, and again somebody says, is it time to wake up yet? So they were petrified, these people. So they ran to Rav Nachman. They said, somebody just got up from your field. So Rav Nachman came over and he said, Ma tivcha b'teil azeh? What are you doing here? So he says, me? Is it time for tchias ameisim? I'm a dead person. So Rav Nachman said, Umeis einen nirkav? How are you still not decomposed, your body? Don't all dead people nirkav, don't they rot? Don't they decay? So this Rav Achoy says, did you go to yeshiva? Hechnisucha lebeis harav. You went to yeshiva, yeah? V'leikrucha sefer mishle. You didn't read sefer mishle. They didn't teach you that. V'leikach amashleima urekavat sameis kina. Only someone who is jealous, his bones will decay. Someone who wasn't jealous when in his lifetime, his bones are intact. He said, I never had kinah. I was never jealous of anybody else in my lifetime, so I'm fully intact. So the Gemara says, he asked him further. He says, but this says Allah for Toshuv, you will. So yeah, that's right before Tchias HaMeisim. Then everyone has to turn to dust and get up. But otherwise, he was fully intact. That's what the Gemara says. This is again, this Medrash. Someone who has kinah, his bones will decay. Someone who doesn't, he will stay intact. In the words of the Mesilas Yesharim, in the end of towards the end of Perek Yud Aleph, he writes, "Hakina gami ein ela chesaron yedia v'sichlus." It's just a lack of reasoning on this, on the part of the person. V'sichlus, it's really foolishness. That's really what it is. Is it Asr? No, it's not Asr. It's something that could drive a person crazy. It could drive a person Menailam, the Mishnah says. But the Seal Sharm says even more than that. A person should talk himself into it to say it's silly. It's foolish to have this midah. It's foolish to go around his whole life to just be jealous of other person and not deal with it. A person himself, the one who's jealous, doesn't gain anything. And he doesn't make the other person lose. The person still has his house. The person still has his kerem. The person still has his wife. Jealousy doesn't affect the other person. Like the Pasuk says, the fool will die from his jealousy. And then he quotes our pasuk, "Rekav atzam iskina." He says it only brings frustration, upsetness, tsar, daiga, worry to the person who has the kina. So we'll end with the Mesillas Yesharim's Eitzah. He says this is the cure. Even though the Rosh says there's no cure, again, there's no cure for someone who's not aware that he has this disease. But someone who is aware that he has this disease, someone who realizes he's in tune with himself, and he realizes that he is envious of other people, whether it's their ruchnius or their gashmius, they have more than me in terms of kaychais ruchnius, or more in terms of material wealth. Says there is one eitzah. What's the eitzah? What's the eitzah that Mesillas Yesharim says for someone who has kinnah? Nope. It's one eighth of the Mesillas Yesharim says. V'omnam, and he writes, Lu yadu v'lu yavinu. Had these people known, and had these people understood, ki ein odom negeya bamuchan lachaveirei afilu k'malai nima. Says the antidote for kinnah is emuna. A person has to know. Whether he believes it or not, it's true. But a person should know and he should believe. Ein adam negeya bamuchan lachaveirei. No one will get what is really intended for somebody else, afilu kumalai nima, even a hair's breadth. Not in terms of how much money that person will have. If it's not set for me, if it's not meant for me, I won't get it. No matter how much I think about it, no matter how much I am envious of that person, I won't get any of that. And if a person's position in life, no matter how hard he tries, what is set for him, when he will be, and when he will be successful, that's all set from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hakol asher kasher l'hakol. Everything is intended for everyone. May Hashem hu kufi atzosei nefalov ha-chokhmosei ha-biltoi neidas. We don't know Hashem's plans, but whatever His plans are, that's what it will be. No matter what I think, no matter what I try, no matter what I do, that's what it will be. So hine lo yoyo lehem tam litzdar. If a person would know this, to me no reason litzdar, but teves re'em klal. Why would I be upset at my friend's success, my friend's teva? It can't come to me anyway. What he needs, he'll get. What I need, I'll get. And what I don't need, I won't get. And what he doesn't need, he won't get. So it's not going to change the situation. If a person has that attitude of emuna, knowing that only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every person is what he needs, and what a person doesn't, he won't get, then ain't adam negeya b'mulch haver afichum lay nima. He says, but the midah is so strong, he says, the actual midah from every person will not be eradicated until you Yemais HaMashiach. Only la'asad lova is mana asad, the Navi says, v'sara kina safrayim, then the kina from Jews will cease to exist. Then people will live b'shalom v'shava that malachai hasharis live with. Asher kulam semeichem ba'avaydosam, everyone is content, every malach is content, ish ish al makaymei, vein echad miskayne b'chaveirei klal. Ki kulam yedim ha'emes la'mitei, because there everybody knows the truth. They are elated over the good that they have. So really what the Mesillas Yesharim is saying is that this midah, to remove it from a person, it's almost asking him to be a malach. But on the other hand, it is a midah that's possible to attain, that we could drive away our jealousy, unless the other choice is to drive ourselves min ha'olam. But here we see from the parsha that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows how He created a person, and the person is jealous, and the until we know that the person has taken care of this problem, this sickness, this disease that he has, we can't trust that he's going to fight the war properly. Mesillas Sharp says that the only Eitzah here is to have Emunah. Ironically, these three cases that the Torah gives here is the three cases that the Gemara in Saita on the Beis HaMidbei says Amar Yehuda Amarav Arboam Yeim Kedim Mesiras HaVlad, 40 days before the formation of a vlad, which means at the time of conception, when the time a person was conceived in his mother's womb, at that moment the bas kol yoytzeis vaymeres, bas pleini lepleini, bias pleini lepleini, and sada pleini lepleini. These three things, bias, kerem, and isha, have all been determined already. These three things have all been determined already. So the antidote for those who are going to be jealous because of that, they don't want, they can't go out to war because we don't know if they've overcome the jealousy. The Mishnah Hashem says, you have to learn this Gemara. The Baskol went out already. Who's going to have this house? And when he'll have this house? And which Parnas he'll have? And which Bayas he'll have? Which Ish he'll have? Mishnah Hashem, Lu Yodu V'li Yavinu. If we understand that well, then we'll be content. A good time.